Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, August 7th, 2009. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media, a broadcasting service of the College of Media at the University of Illinois.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
The August doldrums are upon us as the trade waits further word on the size of corn and soybean crops. Will USDA give the market some sizzle in next week's reports? We'll discuss that and more today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. This is Dave Dickey. Later this half hour, we'll talk with Jerry Gulke of Strategic Marketing Services in Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists today are Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, Mike Georgie of Allendale Incorporated in Mahama, Illinois, and Matt Bennett of Total Grain Marketing in Windsor, Illinois. Let's open today's discussion with this question. Traders are poised for USDA crop production and WASDE reports next Wednesday. Will they be much of a market mover, and why or why not, Matt Bennett?
Well, I can't really imagine that it wouldn't be a market mover. You know, whenever you come out with an acreage revision and yield, you know, I think obviously there's going to be a lot to look at. You know, where we're going to shake out, who knows? I don't really expect the USDA to get too crazy on their yield. There's been some lofty numbers thrown out there, but I don't really see them getting too crazy on their yield. Probably, you know, 157 around there is the average, and I'm going to say it's going to be pretty close to that, 157, 157 and a half. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens on the acreage, though, because I know there's a lot of different estimates on acreage, and I would tend to think that they're going to lose at least a half a million acres, but I know that there's a lot of people with a lot of different ideas there.
Matt, I'm going to stay with you and ask you if Illinois producers are suffering from backyarditis and have been slow to market the 2009 crop.
I would say that it's definitely an issue for several people. You know, you hear about how good the crop is west of Mississippi, and I know that it's pretty tough whenever you're looking out here and you see uneven fields and you see where you've lost a lot of nitrogen, you see where you've got holes in your fields. But simple fact of the matter is, you know, we've been being told for quite some time now that the crop is that good out west, and it's something that you just can't ignore whenever you're marketing your crop. It really doesn't matter sometimes what you're raising. It matters what everyone else as an average is raising.
Wheat futures tumbled this week. Front month spot September making new contract lows. Dan, what do the charts suggest for wheat futures over the next few weeks, and might losses drag down corn futures?
Well, the chart doesn't look very good after this week's price action, and I guess I think, you know, there is room to keep sliding on lower, at least until we find some stronger demand prospects than what we have right now, and that's one of the big problems we have in wheat.
Well, we're at the prices of wheat where if you're someone in Asia, you might be looking at that and say, I'll use that for feed wheat and bypass corn.
Well, that could definitely be a problem, and that's going to be corn's biggest problem that we have is we did a lot of demand destruction on the feed side of the equation this past year. And that's going to be the function of both wheat and corn in one sense, is to go seek a level that we could at least begin to increase some feed usage.
Ethanol production has become profitable once again, but corn export total commitments are lagging behind last year by 657 million bushels. Hog producers are bleeding and in need of herd liquidation. Mike, what are your demand thoughts on the balance for 2009?
Well, I think what you said is exactly right. Corn for ethanol demand is going to be higher. Hog or sow slaughter is going to keep increasing as the prices go down here because lenders are not going to lend any more money to the hog producers. So the sow herd is definitely going to decrease here probably in the next month. So, you know, export demands are probably going to stay about the same, but ethanol will increase, and your cattle and hog demand is probably going to be a little less going into this year.
Producers have been stubborn to reduce and liquidate their herds, though, Mike.
Yes. You know, a lot of them are thinking, you know, well, my neighbor's going to get out, so I'm going to stay in because hog prices are going to go back up. But with the H1N1 and everybody is relating it to swine flu, you know, our kills are less. We're backing up hogs. Our weights are getting higher. So, I mean, really, there's no good news in the hog market.
Outside market forces continue to push grain prices around. The U.S. spot dollar index is at the bottom of its all-time trading range. Is it trying to carve out a bottom, or are numbers south of $70 possible sometime this year, Matt?
Well, it'd be pretty tough to say that we can go south of 70, but I do think that the dollar is going to really have a hard time finding any support in here. I just talked with you earlier before the show, just simple supply and demand. You know, all this new money we're printing. I just have a hard time thinking with all the money available that we're going to be able to do anything unless you just really increase the demand somehow. Simple supply and demand tells me that the price of the dollar is not going to be able to strengthen that quickly.
Same question for you, Dan.
I think you have to respect the price action the dollar has performed here over the past 5 days. We did close out the week strong with a reversal to the upside. I think fundamentally there's reason to think that the dollar could strengthen in here. From a technical point of view, I want to see some strong follow-through to the upside here next week. But I think when you sit back and look at the longer picture of the dollar, I think we're making a right shoulder of a head and shoulders bottom formation on the monthly chart. And I think that is at some point in time here, this dollar is going to get real strong over the next 2 to 3 years.
With a move back up to potentially where?
Well, let's take one step at a time, but I do think we're going back up over 100 as we look down the road a year or two.
If the trade continues to perceive excellent growing conditions on the balance of this season, how much more downside pressure might that put on December corn and November bean futures, Mike?
Well, we think corn can test the $3 range and maybe even below it. Beans, we're thinking $8.50 could be a downside even before harvest. You know, it all depends on weather. If we have an early frost, I think all bets are off and we're going higher. But if things go good, we could see them levels.
If we have that early frost, Matt, all bets are off, Mike says. What does that mean to the downside?
Well, when's the early frost? You know, I mean, I don't know. I think obviously an early frost is going to change the entire scope of everything. But, you know, you throw out an early frost and what you're looking at is there's so many guys that were so late this year compared to normal. And then you throw a weather pattern on top of it that really didn't speed up maturity the way that we really wanted to. So, you know, you could be looking at, you know, some awfully tight situations. You know, for instance, with beans, they're going to be kind of tight going into harvest anyway. We slowed down the maturation of the crop. Who knows where beans could go? You know, it's going to depend locally on how bad people need the beans. The basis could be $2, $3 over pretty easily, I would say. But, I don't know as far as corn goes. I still think, you know, there's a lot of old crop corn out there, so it's a completely different situation with corn than beans.
September corn had a high on the week of 365, a low of 321.5. September corn finishing the week at 322, down 17.5 from last week. December corn finishing the week at 326.5, down 23 from a week ago. August beans, the high there this week, 1195, the low 1140.5. August soybeans finishing the week at 1184.5, up 50.5 from last week. November, the finish there at 1038.5, up 56 and a half from last week. There's been some interesting discussion among our cash grain analysts on basis. Some are saying they expect basis to fall out of bed this fall, but others are saying it will be strong because cash prices might be below insurance rates, causing producers to lock the grain away. And with not full carry in there, they could lock it away for a while. How do you project basis playing out for the 2009 season, Mike?
Well, I think, you know, basis is tight for a lot of guys in the corn right now because they are got the bins closed for the old crop corn. But, you know, things are going to have to move. The new crop's going to be coming in, and I definitely believe the basis is going to widen a lot there too. And I think the same thing's going to happen with beans. I mean, there's a lot of guys that either have got beans gone or the ones that have it are holding because they think it's going to go back up. But as this new crop proceeds and starts being harvested and we have more beans available, basis is definitely going to widen.
Dan?
Well, that's probably going to depend upon how big this crop is, especially on corn. I do think that the demand picture on soybeans has been strong enough that I think that's going to be the one that's going to be to watch for the good basis levels. I'm not convinced that corn is going to be that hard to come by if this crop continues to come on. But I think initially, I think you're right that farmers are going to be reluctant sellers with prices down below $4. It just seems to be the conventional wisdom that they want at least $4 for their corn, $10 for their soybeans. And I think other than that, that they could be fairly stiff holders. But if the crop is as big as what some private estimates are implying, some of this stuff's going to have to come to the market sooner than a lot of people would like to see it, maybe.
Dan, has enough of the 2008 corn crop now been sold that it will not be a marketing issue come harvest?
Well, I think it's still an issue. There is still a lot of 08 corn to be moved at a price. There's a lot of people waiting around for the basis to improve. You know, they're looking for the processors to come after this cash corn a little bit between now and harvest, because harvest is going to be late. We'll have to see how that plays out here over the next couple weeks.
Soybeans have held up well given the weakness in feed grains, but there is some puzzlement in the countryside, I think. I think many producers would like to buy back bean hedges or get outright long beans based on what they are seeing in their fields. Is now the time to enact one of those strategies, or should producers wait, and why, Matt?
I don't know that I would be buying back hedges just yet. I feel like if we can get into harvest without, you know, using up all of our beans, basically, you're probably looking, like Mike said, you know, the basis level is probably going to widen out. I think we have the potential for a pretty decent sized bean crop. I know that there's some short beans out there, but they're calling for a little bit of heat to come in here as we speak, a little bit of heat again after we cool off this next week. You know, you heat it up just a little bit, you have enough moisture pretty well in most of the Midwest. You know, I think the way that the bean crop looks, it's pretty tough for me to get too awfully bullish beans. I just can't make a huge argument for beans going a whole lot higher. So I would not be buying back my hedges at this point.
Mike, what question have you been hearing most from producers, and what answer have you been giving?
Well, I think the big question is where things are going, and I think what we've talked about here is the answer we've been given. You know, you've talked about buying bean hedges back. We're bearish beans. I mean, we think that the report Wednesday will probably be bullish to beans because we will probably be under 100 million carry out for old crop beans. But I think long term, the weather's good, the beans are growing. The demand, you know, they're saying China buying beans was bullish, but, you know, they've done it the past 2 years, so it's nothing surprising, and they still have 20 million metric ton they usually buy during the year. So, I mean, beans, if weather changes and goes to turns things bullish on beans, it's bullish, but other than that, we're very bearish, and I think we should be getting some hedges on both corn and beans.
Dan, where are we in the economy from the recession, and will the fourth quarter help or hurt grain futures prices?
I wish I knew. Well, you can see that there's some optimism from the East Coast that maybe we are at least leveling out. I think there's reason to maybe think that we are leveling out. But the key thing here will be how we level out and when we'll begin to actually see some real upticks in the economy. You can only kind of take a look at the dollar action here this week, which is indicating that the economy might be on the mend and looking for higher interest rates, and that's one of the reasons why the dollar strengthened.
September wheat had a high on the week of 557.5, a low of 488. September wheat finishing the week at 489.5, down 38.75 from a week ago. July, 559.5, down 37.25 from last week.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. After the coldest July on record across Illinois and much of the Midwest, August started out on much the same foot. Temperatures this first week of August averaged 2 to 4 degrees below normal as northwesterly flow continued to dominate the upper levels. The cool weather has been great for outdoor activities other than swimming and your air conditioning bills. It has not been ideal for corn and soybeans, and many gardeners are waiting for tomatoes and other warm weather vegetables to ripen. Rainfall was above normal across the southern half of Illinois and in northwestern Illinois in July, but the northeastern portion of the state was left high and dry. That pattern continued this week as a convective complex produced 1/2 to 2 inches of rain across central Illinois at midweek, with around 1/4 of an inch in the south. Just a few hundredths of an inch of rain were measured north of I-80 by observers in the Community Collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network. A change to warmer weather appears to be in the cards through the middle of August. After a surge of hot and humid weather this weekend into early next week, temperatures should return to slightly above normal levels by the middle of next week. As far as rain is concerned, the best chances will be in northern Illinois this weekend, and with a chance for scattered showers and thunderstorms across the entire state on Tuesday as a weak cold front pushes south. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media's Commodity Week. This is Dave Dickey. Our panelists today are Mike Georgie of Allendale, Matt Bennett of Total Grain Marketing, and Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. Joining us today by phone is Jerry Gulke of Strategic Marketing Services in Chicago, Illinois. Thanks for being with us today, Jerry.
Well, thanks for having me.
Soybean sales are running 12% ahead of a year ago, and USDA is projecting a 9% increase. Deliveries remain zero. Traditional funds are holding net long positions. Technically, the market continues to show positive gains. So the question is, how much longer can beans be the leader in the marketplace, Jerry?
Well, I think someone mentioned earlier that they thought that report on Wednesday, I believe it is going to be bullish, and I think everybody knows that. We played this cat and mouse game in July for a while, and now it's August, and I think there'll be a day of reckoning where, again, depending on the weather, if we can see maturity coming in here, why maybe there won't be much more of it. But if there's a thought that there's not going to be a lot of beans available the first part of September, I think somebody may stand for delivery in August, and of course that's where we're at now. Anybody that's going to play the game in August is going to either want the beans or wants to live dangerously, I guess. But if you notice today, on Friday today, why we had we had beans moving higher, and that's, you know, you got to wonder where corn would have went if beans hadn't have been stronger. But still looks like we got a ways to go yet. The story is still there in beans, and I think just as importantly, and you know, we've been debating this crop that's coming out here this fall, is that if we have to remember, as of September 1st, we in the United States are really the sole provider of soybeans in the world, as South America will be virtually out of soybeans. So it'll be very interesting to see the basis this winter at whatever price we're at.
Questions for Jerry, Matt.
Yeah, Jerry, you know, we were talking just a little bit about acreage, so I guess I'm wondering on your corn acreage, what do you think the revision's going to show, and then just give me an idea on yield.
Well, I've just been going through the yields today, and I can't get much better than 157 without bringing Illinois back up higher. Yield-wise, we missed the corn yield like everybody else, I guess, a little bit, a million and a half acres, and we did a resurvey of the eastern Corn Belt, same acres that the USDA is going to do, and what it did to us is confirmed the trend. We saw a further decrease in corn, and I think what we'll find is about 450,000 acres less, maybe 180,000 acres more of beans. But the it's interesting to note that they're looking at North Dakota as well, because I just returned from there and took a trip around there because I farm up there and I'm from there originally. But they've got a real problem up there in corn and beans both. And, of course, I think the USDA wants to look to see, is it really that bad? And, of course, looking at the Eastern Corn Belt, did all you folks in Eastern Corn Belt who said you were intended to plant more corn back in June, did you really do that? Our survey that we took the third week of June showed virtually no state east of the Mississippi hadn't even intended to plant more corn, let alone get it planted. Western Corn Belt, USDA, which most people aren't talking about, is that they're also going to they'll be asking about yields there as well, but also their normal protocol for August is to ask about soybean acres. And I think we may find, although they're not asking about corn acres, we may get more questions when we get done than we have answers, in that what if the corn soybean acres went up in the Western Corn Belt? Will that imply then that we had less the bean acres go higher, would that imply that corn acres come down? So I'm looking at about 157 bushels an acre, and I agree with Informa, we could blow the socks off of the yield if we get a year like last year, which is doubtful, but it can happen. Then South Dakota is going to have a record, and you know, North Dakota comes through with any kind of a crop on their meager 2.5 million acres, then fine. But I think the kicker in the north is 4 million acres of North Dakota soybeans. I saw soybeans from 3 inches high to less than, you know, maybe ankle higher to less than knee high. I didn't see a good crop of soybeans in the whole state where I was at, and I didn't go to the bad part. So I think there's a chance that we lose. You can lose a third of the acres to get zero, or you can lose 30 to 40 million bushels. The thing is with soybeans, when it freezes, you get nothing. And corn, you get something because of the maturity. We're going to feed it if nothing else. But soybeans are in trouble up north, and they're in big trouble, worst I've ever seen it.
Mike.
Yeah, Jerry. Yeah. You said 450,000. Allendale's thinking about 200,000 less. But, you know, this is not going to be bullish to the corn crop. I mean, if we raise it 3 to 5 bushel an acre and we lose 500,000 acres, I mean, we still got a 1.5 million carryover. So
yeah,
do you think corn's going to $3? Or what's your opinion on the corn prices?
I think if we get the weather is proper and we get the record yield, then I think we get closer to 1.9. You could even make a case for a 2 billion bushel carryover. Kind of depends on how the market visualizes that. You know, this is a futures market, is looking ahead. Are we going to run this economy better worldwide and export more? Certainly the cattle and hogs may not eat it, but I don't know. I thought for quite a while that when the equity sucked all the, when the stock market sucked all the equity out of just about every stock that we looked at, going all the way back to 2006, I thought, why could we be so naive to think that the grain couldn't do that? And it didn't yet. But if we get that kind of a yield, I think then. And what are they going to do with the? We got to kill the livestock, some hogs off. So you could probably be under 5 billion bushels in usage in feed, and then suddenly you've got that 2 billion bushel carryover. And I think at fall harvest, when we finally see we have a crop, then we'll probably get down to that. under $3. I think $2.60 was where it all started, you know, way back about 3 years ago. And things have a tendency to return to the scene of the crime. And also, if you lose demand, the function of the market is to go out and buy that demand back. And you know, I look at it and say, how low would the price of corn have to be, and where would the futures have to be where even I might want to buy a hog facility, you know? And I think that's where the corn has to go eventually if we don't get that frost up north and eclipse, you know, northern Iowa and Minnesota and North Dakota.
Dan?
Yeah, Jerry, where do you think the farmer should be as far as taking a look at this acre program between now and, what has he got, the 15th to sign up or something like that?
Yeah, 14th, I believe. Yeah, I was kind of down on it, but I didn't really know a lot. And I got up to North Dakota and all of a sudden looked at it and said, wow, if it's ever going to work, it's going to work where you have a bad year. And North Dakota is certainly going to we calculated where we could get as much as $100 an acre, I think, up there with it. But you got to have the state has got to be in trouble and you've got to be in trouble. And I'm not going to sign up for it in Illinois because I don't think Illinois is going to be bad enough to get to trigger the state, and I'm certainly not going to be unless I get a real early frost, and because we got our crop in early up here. So it's an individual matter, and it really works in a year that you're living in a state that's got a problem, and you say, all right, we triggered the state, and now I'm going to trigger me. And, of course, they're using the previous 2 years' averages, which, you know, we'll think is 378. We're down to around 250 or 240. In cash prices in North Dakota, so it could be a windfall for them. And I drove around looking and thinking about RA and the acreage program, and I'm thinking, you know, best thing could happen to me in North Dakota is the frost comes and kills it all. And that's why a lot of guys are thinking they'd love to just plow it under and start all over next year because it's looking that bad.
You know, I'm thinking about a guy that's got bins full of corn, and he's got to get his bins cleaned out before harvest. You know, if you're going to throw a strategy at him, I mean, obviously a lot of guys are having a hard time getting very bullish corn. Would you give him any sort of strategy, or would you tell him to cut his losses and sell the corn?
Well, I think, of course, by now he should have had something triggered unless he's, like I say, living in harm's way up north or even in the area where you don't know if you're going to get a crop here or not. But I look at it and I look at the price they're giving me, and if I did a late job or a poor job of marketing, I look at it and say, if this is the cheapest price that I think the corn's going to get between now and the next time I harvest another crop, well, I really want to plant that crop next spring. So if you're going to offer me $3 for my corn, I got to do my cash flow. Now my fertilizer dropped in half finally, so I might be able to get by with $100 an acre less, but I don't think I don't know if we're going to be. We're very far from break even already. So, if I had 50,000 bushels in the bin, I would say I'm going to part company with 25,000 bushels and say it was a bad decision not selling it sooner. Shouldn't really have any weight left. And then I might actually look at hauling it to town, putting it in a bin, and saying how much is it going to cost me to store that grain? Let's just say it's profit, and I got two choices. I can sell it and pay the income tax, or I can not sell it and put it in storage, and I can store it for 32 cents for a year.
Jerry, thanks for being with us today.
You bet.
Jerry Gulke of Strategic Marketing Services in Chicago, Illinois. We would like to thank our panel, Matt Bennett of Total Grain Marketing in Windsor, Illinois, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, and Mike Georgie of Allendale Incorporated in Mahama, Illinois. That wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. This is Dave Dickey.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.